You're listening to The Voice of the Caribbean Radio, your source for news, sports, and entertainment in the Caribbean.
This is Let's Talk St. Kitts and Nevis right here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. I'm your host, Andre Huey. Today on Let's Talk St. Kitts and Nevis, we're going to be looking more at a regional approach on the topic of business. We had the opportunity recently to speak with representatives of the Caribbean Association of Chamber Industry and Commerce, CACI, which is based in New York. It's an organization representing Caribbean businesses or businesses of Caribbean origin, and of course persons of minorities as well in the New York metropolitan area. We had the opportunity to speak with the vice chairman of the organization, Mr. George Hulse, and we also spoke to a very interesting person who is on the forefront of the fight for global food security. All that and more coming up on this week's edition of Let's Talk St. Kitts and Nevis. But first, we'll take a break and be right back.
Voice of the Caribbean Radio, VOC Radio. Stay locked on.
It's Christmas time again, and Voice of the Caribbean Radio wants to keep you in the Christmas spirit with Caribbean Christmas, the finest in Caribbean Christmas music, right now into the Christmas season. That's Caribbean Christmas on Voice of the Caribbean Radio. Listen us at www.voiceofthecaribbean.net or listen us on TuneIn Radio. Let's make your Christmas special.
Online radio has never been this great. It's Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. Tune into Voice of the Caribbean Radio for great Caribbean programs, news, entertainment, sports, and current affairs. Wake up each morning and be inspired with One Day at a Time with Kim Huey. Stay abreast with news across the Caribbean and internationally with the Caribbean News Hour, and be entertained with shows like Reggaeville, Caribbean Classics, and Jive Music Show. Visit our website, download our Android mobile app, or listen us on TuneIn Radio. There is so much more on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond. Check website or app for program schedule.
Want to buy some fresh fruits, vegetables, or ground provision, but don't have the time to go to the market or even to find parking? Look no further. Green Market and Delivery is your solution. Green Market and Delivery is an e-commerce store that sells and delivers local produce to customers in St. Kitts and Nevis. Anything you purchase, you can get fresh from the market and delivered directly to your door. Log on to www.greenmarketskn.com. Click on the e-store link, choose your items, and shop away. We have a wide array of products from fruits, vegetables, local products, spices and seasonings, and much more. Save time and energy. Shop on greenmarketskn.com, your one-stop shop for fresh local produce.
Stay abreast with news on St. Martin with SMN News. Visit www.smn-news.com for up-to-date news, scoops, opinions, and hard-hitting facts. SMN News, we tell it like it is. Visit our website, www.smn-news.com.
If you're looking for a place to host that special event, conference, meeting, social event, party, whatever the occasion, your best option is the Millhouse Convention Center in Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Located on the picturesque Garvey's Estate, the Millhouse Guesthouse Convention Center has enough space for outdoor events overlooking the Caribbean Sea. If you're looking indoors, the center is equipped with amenities needed to make your event a success. And by combining both spaces, you're sure to have a memorable event, no matter the occasion. Call the offices at Millhouse Guesthouse and Convention Center to book your next event on simply the most beautiful place in St. Kitts. Call 668-1392. Millhouse Convention Center at Garvey's Estate, Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Making your event memorable. Auto Plus Car Wash, located on the Collins Street Gut, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Bring your car to Auto Plus Car Wash to remove water stains, wiper marks. Get your doors, roof panel cleaned, seat floor mats, buff in, headlights, and engine wash. You get quality service at the best price at Auto Plus Car Wash. They really care for your car.
call 765-5140 or visit them on College Street, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Auto Plus Car Wash, where service is number one.
The voice of the Caribbean Radio.
Welcome back to Let's Talk St. Kitts Nevis right here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. As promised you, we will use this opportunity to present you an interview or interviews, a series of interviews we did with entrepreneurs in the United States, in particular for those of Caribbean origin. We had the opportunity to speak with the vice chairman of the Caribbean Association of Chamber of Commerce and Industry, CACI, which is an organization almost 40 years old that has been representing businesses of Caribbean origin in the United States. The vice chairman is Mr. George Hulse. We spoke at the Plenty. We were at the Plenty restaurant located in Brooklyn, where we had a conversation on the history of CACI and what it represents for minorities and businesses of Caribbean origin.
For viewers and listeners who may not be aware of what CACI is about.
CACI is a Caribbean American, it's a chamber of commerce. And it's a chamber of commerce that centers around the Caribbean community. It was started 36 years ago by Dr. Roy Hastic. And the purpose of starting CACI, really it was like a three-legged stool. The first thing was to help those businesses that had been established, to help them try to get more business by coming together and doing business with each other, and also using each other as mentors to direct each other to where they could find opportunities. So there was this first part, was to bring in established businesses. Then the second part was to take people who either wanted to be in business or had new businesses and educate them about what's required to have a business. You know, the devil's in the details. And when you start a business, you have all great plans and everybody has great plans. And we know 95% of all new businesses fail. And so what we wanted to do with the new businesses is tell them why other people had failed, so they would look out for these landmines. And then the third part of the Caribbean American Chamber of Commerce and Industry was to build a bridge between those in the Caribbean region and those of us in New York and America. And so what we would do, we would often reach out to diplomats from the region and invite them to New York City. And by the same token, we would often visit many of the countries in the Caribbean, in Jamaica. We've visited Jamaica and a lot of different countries, Antigua, Anguilla, St. Martin. We visited a lot of these countries to talk to the business community there and the political community there about how could we bridge the divide between us. One of the big challenges that we always have, especially with new business people, and it doesn't just apply to new business people, but it applies to everyone who is new with any type of business. And we say to them, what's your first priority? And new business people always say, my mission. This is my mission. This is what keeps me up at night. This is what keeps me driving. And we say to them, no, your first priority has to be making a profit. And your mission has to be the second priority. Because if you're not successful, if you don't make a profit, regardless of how good your mission is, you'll never be able to execute it. And the same thing with a small business or any business person. You know, regardless of how good your mission is, if you can't generate some revenue to be successful, then you won't be successful. And so it's one of the things that we constantly tell our new business people when they come in all excited about their mission is, how are we going to pay for it? How are we going to make a profit? How are we going to sustain it?
Right. Very good point. Now, over the years, CACI has been around for over
36 years.
36 years. So what were some of your success stories or some things you could point to as your success stories over the years?
Well, we've helped an awful lot of New York City businesses do business with the city and business with the state. And the people who are the key decision makers there, like the state controller, Tom DiNapoli, a very good friend who comes with us all the time, and we're always introducing him to small business people. And then we have to get them certified. Certified so that they can do business with the city, and certified so that they can do business with the state. But the problem that we continue to have is funding. And funding continues to be a problem now. We have a black mayor here in New York City. We also have a black speaker in New York City. We also have a black public advocate. And so what we're hoping now is that with so many black elected officials and four black members of Congress, that the new airport, LaGuardia Airport, and some of these other big capital projects, that they can set aside some of that business for African Americans. You know, we often set it aside for people of color, but people of color and women, we find that the women get most of the money, and the African Americans get very little of these fundings. And so we'd like to use more of the model that they used in Atlanta when they built the Atlanta airport. And 20% of that money that they did there had to go to African American businesses. And we'd hope that we would introduce something like that here in New York City.
Right. Now, one of the things that we've noticed over the years as well is, and I think this is one of CACI's mission, is to bridge that gap between businesses in the Caribbean and those in the U.S., people who want to establish trade relations in the U.S. How has CACI been able to help businesses do that, and what are some of the plans you have in that?
Yeah. So, you know, we've had some, like PJ, the former prime minister of Jamaica. And we had a lot of good meetings with him. And we have talked to Jamaican businesses, and he has been a real hero to us. And you know, our businesses have really been more, you know, a lot of shipping businesses. So we have an awful lot of shipping businesses here that have been able to ship things to throughout the region. But there are a lot of challenges. As you know, let's take Haiti, for example. So if you want to ship anything to Haiti, you've got to ship things to those 10 or 12 Lebanese families that own all the trade. And so the African Americans or the blacks own the government, but the trade is owned by 10 or 12 families that had their origins from Lebanon. Now, of course, they're Haitians and they're, you know, they speak Creole and they're 100% Haitian. They're no longer Lebanese, but their background, of course, is in Lebanon. And they control all of the trade. And so if you want to ship refrigerators or anything else to Haiti, if you're not in business with those families, you're not going to be successful. And what we find in so much of the region, we control the government. But unfortunately, in all of the Americas, we don't really control very much of the business. We have managed to control the government, but we haven't been able to take our influence in government and turn it into business.
That's the case for most of the Caribbean.
Yeah, and I would say this is pretty much true of most of the Caribbean and most of what we do here in America. It's one of the things we have to work on. We've got to talk more to our kids about, and talk to each other more about how do we turn the paradigm. You know, it's sort of like the caste system in India, where the bottom caste stays the bottom caste. Well, African Americans, we're sort of like the bottom caste in the Americas, and we've stayed the bottom caste. And so it's a social science. It's not clinical. It's a social science that we sort of accepted. And so we've got to figure out, how do we stop accepting that we should be in the lower class? How do we stop accepting that if we see a big building, we assume it's not owned by African Americans, even if it's in an African American neighborhood? So it's something that we have to work on.
Yeah. I know the last time I had the chance to speak to Dr. Roy Hastings. Yeah, Roy Hastings, sorry. He pointed out that one of the goals and one of the visions of CACI was to have its own home, its headquarters,
yes.
And I know work was being done in that area. Can you just give us an
update? So we, you know, Dr. Roy's vision was for us to own a big commercial building. We were not successful in the own. Well, we never got the big commercial building. However, we were the instigators in a large commercial building that we're in. And so we don't own the building, but we did manage to get $8 million of funding for the building. And so we do have, we're one of the, we have a condo, and our condo is on the second floor.
Right.
So the second floor of that building, 75% of the space on the second floor is our condo. And it's our condo, and we have no maintenance. So it's our condo, and because Dr. Roy Hastig really created the idea of this, we don't have any maintenance. So it's a maintenance-free condo that we have. We pay electricity and things like that.
Right.
But that's only because of the work of Dr. Roy Hastig and the board members.
And so that's where Khaki is housed?
Khaki is housed now,
right.
Yes.
Now, after 36 years, what are some of the plans that Khaki has for its members, and even wider than that?
Well, Khaki's members have done well. They've done well. We've seen the businesses grow. And it's not just business. It's also political influence, because the elected officials have so much to do with the influence of what goes on in government here New York City and around the world. And so, without exception, all of the elected officials who influence our community have come through Khaki. Congresswoman Yvette Clark, whose mother, Una Clark, who really was the instigator who started, who took the street vendors off of the street, gave them a place where they could operate from. And it's that site that Una Clark, as a city councilwoman, found for us that we have built this new building. And I say we have built a new building because we've given a lot of the funding, although we are not the principal owners of the building, we are condo owners of the building. But Dr. Una Clark started as a city councilwoman. Her daughter, who followed her in a city council and is now is in the United States Congress for the last 16 years, Congresswoman Yvette Clark, has been very, very instrumental in helping us and helping our members. And Yvette Clark has been very, very instrumental. We've done many, many international trips with her throughout the Caribbean in order to tell people about the opportunities in New York City. And we've done many, many seminars and workshops here in New York City and around New York State and around the region, telling people about the opportunities in the Caribbean. And so our job is to connect interesting people, connect businesses here in New York City and in New York State and in the United States with the Caribbean region, and also connect those businesses in the region with the people who are here.
Right. Finally, you've spoken a lot about providing opportunities for your members, as well as for creating opportunities in the Caribbean as well. What would you say would be Khaki's overarching accomplishment or goal going forward? I mean, you've done 36 years, you're here for a long time, you plan to be here for the long haul.
Yes, yeah. Our goal is to really see economic independence for our communities. Our goal is for all African people to see we are all connected. Our goal is also to see a free and independent Haiti. Now, you might say to me, Haiti is free and independent. Well, is Haiti really free and independent? Haiti has been under European control since they received their independence in 1804. And so we would like to see more of Haitians controlling what's happening in Haiti rather than the international community, and especially the United States, Canada, and France. That's one of our goals. Another one of our goals is more free trade between the businesses that we have here in the United States and those businesses in the region. And that continues to be a challenge because most of the businesses here, even in our communities, are not owned by us. And most of the businesses in the Caribbean region are not owned by the people who live in the Caribbean region, but they're owned by the Canadians, they're owned by the Europeans. Now we see more and more a Chinese influence in the region. And here again, businesses are doing well, but they're really not our businesses. Another thing that we'd like to see in the region, we'd like to see less emphasis on tourism and more emphasis on other types of businesses. Why in so much of the region do we import food when we have nothing but great land and great opportunities? You know, why are we waiting for others to come in and develop these opportunities for us? So there's a lot of opportunities in the region, but we don't seem to be taking advantage of them. And I'm not pointing fingers at people in the region, because we have the same thing here. You know, we are all affected by this social science of race and this caste system. And we know race is artificial. We know it's a social science. It's not a clinical science. But what it does, it allows us to settle to be mediocre. And so I tell young kids when I reach them, I say, listen, you're in school. I want you to be the Chinese kids. Don't be the African American kids. Be the Chinese kids. Because if you're the Chinese kids, you've got to be the best. If you're the Chinese kids, you've got to go to Ivy League schools. You've got to go to Stanford or MIT. And so it's all a social science. You know, kids, I see young boys and I talk to them in schools and they talk about being basketball players. I say, you don't want to be a basketball player. You want to own the basketball franchise. You want the basketball players to work for you. You want to hire them and pay them. And so at CACI, a part of what we're doing is to get people to think differently, to look through a different lens, to not look at the lens of this caste system. You know, our caste system is sort of like the caste system in India. In India, you know, they have five caste systems, and whatever caste system you're born in, you sort of die in. And it applies to America too. You know, we're in the bottom caste, but we've got to stop that being in the bottom caste. So, you know, what we try to do is put businesses together, but we're also, just as much as putting businesses together, we're trying to change attitudes.
Mr. Hulls, thank you very much. I think that is a good way to end the interview.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
All right. Thanks.
That's Mr. George Hulls of CACI, the Caribbean Association of Chamber of Commerce and Industry, based in New York. We'll take another break. When we come back, we'll have a discussion with a young lady who is doing great work on the forefront of global food security.
Voice of the Caribbean Radio, VOC Radio. Stay locked on.
It's Christmas time again, and Voice of the Caribbean Radio wants to keep you in the Christmas spirit with Caribbean Christmas, the finest in Caribbean Christmas music, right now into the Christmas season. That's Caribbean Christmas on Voice of the Caribbean Radio. Listen us at www.voiceofthecaribbean.net or listen us on TuneIn Radio. Let's make your Christmas special.
Online radio has never been this great. It's Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. Tune into Voice of the Caribbean Radio for great Caribbean programs, news, entertainment, sports, and current affairs. Wake up each morning and be inspired with One Day at a Time with Kim Huey. Stay abreast with news across the Caribbean and internationally with the Caribbean News Hour, and be entertained with shows like Reggaeville, Caribbean Classics, and Jive Music Show. Visit our website, download our Android mobile app, or listen us on TuneIn Radio. There is so much more on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond. Check website or app for program schedule.
Want to buy some fresh fruits, vegetables, or ground provision, but don't have the time to go to the market or even to find parking? Look no further. Green Market and Delivery is your solution. Green Market and Delivery is an e-commerce store that sells and delivers local produce to customers. It's in Kitsie Nevis. Anything you purchase, you can get fresh from the market and delivered directly to your door. Log on to www.greenmarketskn.com. Click on the e-store link, choose your items, and shop away. We have a wide array of products from fruits, vegetables, local products, spices and seasonings, and much more. Save time and energy. Shop on greenmarketskn.com, your one-stop shop for fresh local produce.
Stay abreast with news on St. Martin with FMN News. Visit www.smn-news.com for up-to-date news, scoops, opinions, and hard-hitting facts. FMN News, we tell it like it is. Visit our website, www.smn-news.com.
If you're looking for a place to host that special event, conference, meeting, social event, party, whatever the occasion, your best option is the Millhouse Convention Center in Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Located on the picturesque Garvey's Estate, the Millhouse Guesthouse Convention Center has enough space for outdoor events overlooking the Caribbean Sea. If you're looking indoors, the center is equipped with amenities needed to make your event a success. And by combining both spaces, you're sure to have a memorable event, no matter the occasion. Call the offices at Millhouse Guesthouse and Convention Center to book your next event on simply the most beautiful place in St. Kitts. Call 668-1392. Millhouse Convention Center at Garvey's Estate, Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Making your event memorable. Auto Plus Car Wash, located on the Collins Street Gut, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Bring your car to Auto Plus Car Wash to remove water stains, wiper marks. Get your doors, roof panel cleaned, seat floor mats, buffing, headlights, and engine wash. You get quality service at the best price at Auto Plus Car Wash. They really care for your car. Call 765-5140 or visit them on Collins Street Gut, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Auto Plus Car Wash, where service is number one.
The voice of the Caribbean Radio.
Welcome back to Let's Talk St. Kitts Nevis. Before the break, we heard from Mr. George Hulse of CACI in the United States. Now we'll be hearing from a lady who's on the forefront of global food security. Her name is Colette Cyrus Burnett, and she is from Global Food Warrior, a nonprofit organization that's promoting global food security.
I am Colette Cyrus Burnett, and I am the CEO of Global Food Warrior.
Right. What is Global Food Warrior?
Global Food Warrior is a movement that really addresses food security. It does so in the region of the Latin America and Caribbean region, and we also work in parts of Africa and in the U.S. here in New York City.
Right. So if you give us an insight into some of the work and some of the things that you do.
Well, we work specifically with young people. We try to encourage young people into agriculture because agriculture needs to be innovated. And as a result of that, we've been having challenges with our food supply. So in the Caribbean, we import about 80% of our food right now, which really is concerning given the vulnerability that leaves us at. Every time I consider that, I think about what exactly are we doing to ensure that our children are able to eat each day. So working in Global Food Warrior, what we try to do is to hyper-localize food so that whatever comes, be it COVID-19 or any other such challenge, we are able to reach our food in walking distance.
Right.
The challenge right now is that food is being bused or brought into the country in, I expect, the most difficult of ways because it is being shipped in. So let's suppose in the U.S. there may be challenges to have food in the near future. Right now at the UN level, there's talks about there being famine in the US starting in the next 5 years, starting in Chicago. So if you consider that, and much of the Caribbean is bringing in their food, sometimes upwards of 70% of their food is coming from the US, then you understand that if I am a leader of my country and I have to feed my people or feed yours, which one would I choose? I would always choose to feed my people. So when we leave ourselves, especially in the Caribbean, so as vulnerable as we are, to the fact that we are bringing in 50-70% of our food from the US, we have to also consider that famine may be possible in our countries in the short future as well. So it's why we're seeing the high prices happening in the supermarkets right now. There is inflation across the board. But when you look at your prices in the supermarket, it's alarming. From 2019 to now, much of the food has increased in prices 30-50%. And if you're understanding that your paycheck is not rising at the same point, and also that farmers are having as much challenges with this as we are, we really need to find better ways to support the farming community and to bring young people into it in a way that allows them to be successful as well.
Right.
So our work at Global Food Warrior really intersects there. Whatever we can do to encourage young people into farming, from teaching it in schools, teaching about agri-entrepreneurship, about agro-processing, we do the whole nine, and we introduce them to companies and organizations who do the same and also support.
Now, I take it that your work takes you all over the world.
It does.
The Caribbean, of course, is your base, because that's
yes,
where
it is. Well, that's home.
Yeah.
Trinidad is where I'm from, so when I think of home, that's always where I go first. And I think we really need to take care of our region in a way that allows us to see it sustainably well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Where have you been now with the drive? Apart from the Caribbean, apart from Trinidad and Tobago, where else have you been to?
Well, we are in Malawi currently. We work in the University of Malawi with a team there called AquaGreen. And that is a team of young people who are themselves part of the farming community, their families are. And we look at ways to, again, innovate farming in Malawi. In Malawi, the challenges are different. So it's still food security issues, and about 75% of their people are beneath the poverty line. And it's a heavy farming community, country. So we have to figure out how to manage transportation within Malawi, which is where the challenge is. A lot of the farmers are women, and the women have to travel very, very long ways with their produce, and sometimes they're carrying it on their heads. They have to wrap it in tight ways and carry it on their heads to get it where it needs to go. And by the time it gets there, it's not the best of qualities as well. So what we're trying to do is to bridge that gap and allow for them to grow in more centric places such as schools, community centers, and any type of area that might be community available. That has been our biggest push, because it would allow for not just the farmers to thrive, but also for the communities that they serve to do so as well.
Mm-hmm. Coming back closer to home, how is it? Let's use Trinidad, because that's one of your base.
Yeah.
What are some of the, apart from just the educational aspect, what are some of the practical ways as well in which your organization is helping to bridge that gap?
Sure.
And to make food security a more urgent situation?
Well, I can talk about a particular project that we're working on that can bring it home a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
We work with farmers in a particular way to allow for them to understand what is their capacity and to get to that, not just from a place of growing organically, but also recognizing that the amount of pesticides that we have been using within the growing procedures may not actually be the best thing for our community. So seeing value in doing that and shifting minds around doing that as well in Trinidad is a big deal. So we're working with a group of farmers in Valencia right now on about 100 acres, about 20 farmers, all of whom have been growing more or less the same thing. So for example, they will all grow pimentos 1 year.
Right.
And sometimes what happens is that pimentos was really, really a great price last year. So now everybody's thinking, well, let me grow pimentos because it can be a great price this year. But if everybody's growing pimentos without anyone considering how much pimentos is on the market, then it becomes a glut of pimentos. And of course, now you can't sell your pimentos for what you normally would. So just having them understand collective thinking and figuring out how we can actually allow for them to grow different types of produce and also all be successful at what they're growing. but also support each other. Because one of the things that COVID taught us is that there is going to be challenges with bringing food from place to place. That's where the supply chain has really been disrupted. So if we are growing, let's say we take our plate, for example, and your plate would have some proteins on it, it will have some vegetables, it may have root veggies, it may have things like some type of starch. If we're growing in different parts of this eco-village, which is what we're doing on our project, it is that we're growing in different crops, short-term, long-term, medium-term, so that we can actually create a plate right within the eco-village that we are supporting. So our farmers understand how to work together now, and they also look at each other for support, but also to learn.
How easy was it to get them to do that? Because usually you hear the stories of farmers, and we hear the stories of, well, farmers don't like to work together, they like to work in silos, etc.
Yeah.
How easy was it to get farmers to cooperate in that sense?
I'm always interested in who's saying these things, like how difficult it is.
Well, sometimes some of the people involved in agriculture.
Some of them have been, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But it might be also the approach that we have taken, and also understanding that we haven't actually given farmers the kind of support that they need and shown them that they have that support for the long term. So some of it is actually fostering trust. And that's one of the ways that we have been most successful. It is in fostering trust within the farming community by doing what we say we're going to do, because your action actually speaks louder than your words do. And for us, that has served us well. So fostering trust takes a while, but it is also about holding to your word and also ensuring that you and the team do the thing that you say you're going to do. So we've been successful in doing that. And our farmers tend to trust us.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So what's your future? What are the future plans for Global Food Warrior? Apart from Malawi, of course, you're now in Malawi and Trinidad and Tobago. What are some of your future plans?
Okay, so the big, hairy, scary goal is to actually have farming done in all of the schools throughout Trinidad and Tobago and in the Caribbean. I'd like to see every community center growing food. Every community has a school. And if we consider that all these children who go to school are not always fed well. So right here in New York City, we have a statistic that is a little bit alarming. Most people won't know this, but 10% of these kids who go to school here in New York City go to school hungry. So if you consider that if you go to school with a hungry belly, could you learn anything? There's no way you could learn. And we already have challenges with the education system, but when you consider that a young man or woman has to go to school hungry, then it's something that we need to take care of. And so in Trinidad and Tobago and throughout the Caribbean as well, what we would like to do is to ensure that our children first eat the best food possible. So our plan is to be in every school, every community center that we are allowed into, to put farming procedures together, a little garden if it's necessary, greenhouse that we can grow vertically as well. Because as you know, with vertical farming, we could grow about 9 times as much food in the same space. So the goal is to get as much food growing within walking distance so that our community can buy from us as well. So not only will the young people learn how to grow food, they would also become their own little agripreneurs. That's our hope.
Right. One of the questions I think is very important is, it's obviously a very ambitious goal.
It is. Well, why not, though?
Of course, why not?
Yes.
But the question, I think, would be, what's your model in terms of funding and ensuring that you have the resources to actually fulfill those plans?
Well, we actually go out and search for grants to be able to do the work that we do. There are many grants out there that actually support agricultural pursuits, but we also look at investors as one of the ways that we will be able to fund. And we look at our stakeholders, so people like the Supermarket Association, who would need to buy the crops that we actually are producing. We create partnerships with them so that we are able to be the suppliers for them as well. So it is that there are many ways that we are able to fund the projects that we do and the movement itself. But it is that funding is always necessary. Without money, you can't do anything. So for us, it is that it's a strategic plan that takes all of the opportunities available to us as well.
Last but not least, and you did, I think you made mention of it, how much do you apply technology? Because obviously, one of the image issues that agriculture tends to face in the Caribbean
yeah.
is that it's arduous work, it's you know, it's hard labor, et cetera, et cetera. And
yeah.
some young people are turned off from it, but there yeah. are technologies that make yeah. agriculture a lot simpler and more effective.
Yeah.
So have you been utilizing, of course, you made mention of greenhouse.
Yes, well, it's important that we digitalize everything that we're doing. As you see with young people, the better we are at gamifying at agriculture, the better we will get at actually encouraging or engaging young people. But we have to think about what the mindset is that has caused us this. We have to remember that we come from a history of slavery, and slavery is where we had to actually be, we were flogged to do the work of agriculture. So just like in the veins or in the DNA of those who have gone through the Holocaust, in our veins and in our DNA is the actual harm and negativity that we have lived and our ancestors have lived as a result of slavery. So we have to first address that. We have to actually talk about the things that we are kind of concerned with, a little bit scared to talk about sometimes. But the truth of it is that if we don't harness agriculture, what we're doing is leaving ourselves vulnerable to those who do. Food is necessary for us. We cannot live without food. So when we leave our food in the hands of anyone else, we're essentially stating that we trust them. We trust whoever we put our food in the hands of beyond our trusting ourselves. That worries me. So for us to take care of that, that should be our top priority.
Okay. Any last words you'd like to impart to our viewers and those who may be watching from the Caribbean and elsewhere?
I would like to implore every leader who is able to hear this to speak to them directly about the need for us to harness our food. If we don't, again, someone else will. But also, we have the opportunity now, since COVID-19 has happened, to recognize where we've gone wrong. There is not a question that food has been impacted. What I'm wondering about is how quickly can we move? Because food does take time to grow. And every time that we talk about something and not action it, it means that we take away time from our ability to feed our people. That is urgent to me. So every leader who is looking at the food prices rising and they themselves have to pay for that, they should recognize that the people who are most impacted are children. And if we allow for our children to starve, what kind of leaders are we? We really need to consider that. So that's my last words.
Thank you very much.
That's Colette Cyrus Burnett of Global Food Warrior. You're listening to Let's Talk St. Kitts Nevis right here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. We continue our meetings and our interviews with Caribbean entrepreneurs. This lady who has been doing wonderful things for the past almost 30 years or more than 30 years in the United States is a woman who has a business in the Brooklyn Navy Yard. She's of Barbados origin, and her business is blackcakes.com, where she sells black cakes, pastries rather, at her establishment at the Brooklyn Navy Yard. But also you can order black cakes and have them delivered to you wherever you are in the world by just going to her website, blackcakes.com. She also has another affiliate website as well, which you'll hear about in the interview. Her name is Angela Price, and so we'll be speaking with her. She's also a member of CACI and has been a member of CACI, one of the original members of CACI, several years ago when it started.
First of all, talk to us about your business. Well, what's the official name? Give us the official name.
The business is the Black Cake Company, formerly Caribbean Cake Connoisseurs. We started in 1987, and we have been shipping and mailing cakes worldwide ever since.
Wow. So you started in 1987. You're also online, and I understand you were one of the first persons, I mean, the moment the online thing came out in the mid-90s, you were one of the first persons to jump on it.
Yeah, we actually was established online since 1996. We thought with the advent of the internet, it would have been a great way for us to actually get our cakes into the hands of individuals, since they have a really wonderful shelf life. The alcohol preserves it, of course.
Right.
And so we believe that, you know, getting online would have been the best for us. Even recently with the pandemic, our sales increased as a result of it, just because there were no face-to-face transactions going on, at least not that much. And so people, you know, increased buying from us during the pandemic.
Right. We'll talk a little bit more about that and how that transformed, helped to transform the company. But give us a bit of your background, because you think of black cake as a Caribbean person, you think, oh, you know, black cake is a Caribbean thing, and you know, so if you could just give your viewers a bit of your background.
So I'm from Barbados originally. I came to the U.S. in 1972. Worked with my husband, who passed away in 2011, worked with him and his data processing consulting firm, but wanted to find my purpose. And I tell my story three nights in a row. I went to bed and I asked God, I said, well, what should I be doing with my life? And cakes came up every time. And so I decided to pursue my passion and started baking and shipping cakes. Advertising, of course, but right. Shipping cakes worldwide.
So when you started in the 80s, obviously the internet wasn't a thing then. You've been mailing your cakes, basically.
Exactly. Delivery. So what we started to do was we did a lot of bulk mailing. So we dealt with the post office, we created catalogs, and then, you know, we got bulk mailing, and that's how we actually got our, in lots of our mailing catalogs into the hands of individuals. We, you know, we would rent lists from like Black Enterprise, Hershey's Chocolate, you know, Essence Magazine, and use these lists then to do our bulk mailing in the early 1980s.
Right.
The other way that we were able to build was through a lot of Black Expos in the 1980s. So we traveled to about several cities. We went to Atlanta, we went to California, we went to Maryland, we did New York, of course. And these Black Expos allowed us then to give samples of the product. And that's one of the ways that we were able to build our mailing list.
Right. So that transitions you now to becoming a member of Khaki, because Khaki started in the 80s. And at that time as well, as a Caribbean person, you would have had your challenges trying to set up your business and everything. How did you got, first of all, learned about Khaki, being one of the original members, and eventually how did that help you?
It's a friend of mine had introduced me to Khaki. And so I started attending the meetings. It was wonderful. Roy Hastert was really great with his networking abilities, and he would encourage us to do effective networking. I met some great people in Khaki, built some wonderful relationships through Khaki, and as a result of Roy's persuasion and encouragement and, you know, all of the things that he did over the years in order to encourage us to network, in order to grow our businesses. Right. They also offered like workshops, you know, on finances, connected you with bankers and that sort of thing, which was really important to someone having a small business.
Right. So coming back now to the 90s, or heading to the 90s now, you started when the internet became a thing, you went ahead and you got blackcake.com. You got that registered.
I thank my husband for that.
Right.
He had a bit of foresight. We also have rumcake.com.
Oh, rumcake. Okay, good. So we'll talk about that too. But when you started out, I'm sure you had naysayers. It was like, well, you know, this internet thing is it's a fad. It's going to end. Why waste your money? Why waste your time on that? What was it like then? I mean, I'm sure you probably had some pushback.
Well, the naysayers were primarily those who thought the cakes were expensive, you know. And I remember actually going to an expo in Atlanta, and, you know, they taste the cake and they just drop the stuff. I'm not paying $50 for a cake, you know. I'm not paying $40 for a cake, having, of course, no idea what it takes to make a black cake. Because it's, you know, you don't usually get up in the morning and make a black cake. You have to set your fruit, age your fruit, you know, and then at the juncture, a month, 2 months, 6 months, then you actually start to make the black cake. So it's a two-step process that really, you know, increases our costs as a result of it. But we were not daunted.
Yeah.
We were not daunted.
Indeed, that's good. And you said you have rumcake.com, so you have another branch off from this?
Yeah, we do have another SKU. We offer flavored rum cakes, banana, chocolate, coconut. We're about to offer orange as well. And we also have a light fruit cake. We call it a Dundee cake, but a lot of people in the Caribbean call it a light fruit cake.
Right.
And we also offer that. And getting into a few other non-alcoholic things, like we do coconut bread, and we also do a German chocolate cake.
Okay. Now, so you've seen, you know, you've gone through many storms and grown. I mean, you talk about the pandemic and how that helped you. How do you manage to stay relevant and stay, you know, resilient despite all the different challenges that could affect and destroy small businesses?
God. I really, you know, it really is building a spiritual life that is fundamental to overcoming, because there are huge challenges. I mean, I do have a Down syndrome son as well, and that's a huge challenge for me. But, you know, it's just having that strength that you can get from God that allows you to keep pressing forward. And so my faith walk is pretty deep, and that's how I've been able to overcome. Because it actually prepares me when something comes up. You make the decision before that you're not going to let it kind of stop you.
Right. That's good. So now we are now in 2022, we are coming out of the pandemic. What are some of your plans? I mean, you still have an online presence, and which eventually benefited you throughout the pandemic. What are your plans now as you look to grow the business?
Yeah, so right here where we are in the Navy Yard, we've just gotten a great opportunity. We're moving into a 4,000 square foot facility, which will allow us to, you know, increase our holding for supplies or cans, which are important for us as we ship. So it was really timely for us, for them to come to us and let us know that there were activities and that there was a building and there was a space, a suite that we could have. And my daughter and I, who just joined the company in January, just jumped on it. So we actually have been approved by the board for grants in order to outfit this facility. Wow. So we're very excited about that. And just in March of this year, we got this great opportunity to supply 10 SKUs of our cakes to the duty-free shops in Bermuda.
Oh, wow.
And
at the airport?
At the airport, right. Yes. And so, you know, we're actually thinking of introducing our cake bites, and they're encouraging us to offer other flavors. So they're also helping us to scale by increasing the cakes that they want to get from us.
Wow. And speaking of that, just walk us through a bit, guys. We have some of the samples here in the background. So you have cakes, how you do your packaging. So basically,
yes.
You're mostly for special orders. Do you also do retail apart from what you
do? Yes, we do.
So people can come here and actually purchase.
They can. It's a small portion of our whole business, but we do retail.
Okay.
Or someone can order online and they can actually come here
and pick it up here.
Yeah.
Right. Now, this is a rum cake. So this is the original rum cake.
Yeah, this is a chocolate flavored rum cake.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so you have different flavors then?
Yes.
Right, so these are both chocolate
yes,
flavored.
But we have original, just like this cake bite. Mm-hmm. This is how our original flavor is.
Right.
This cake bite is actually our light fruit cake flavor. And then, of course.
And this is the rum cake flavor.
That's a brown black cake.
Oh, the brown black cake.
Yeah, so we offer, I'll tell you a story. Mm-hmm. When I started the business, my mom only made the black cake brown. She never put burnt sugar into it. And so I started to ship these cakes, and the response I got was, this is not black cake. I was like, oh my. And then I figured out that it was just missing burnt sugar.
Yeah.
So then I decided we would offer both.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
But this is how our cakes are canned.
So they are in the can here.
Yes.
You just take it up so you can see it.
Yes.
Oh, and these are our small cans.
And these are our small cans. We have our little miniatures.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our larger cake. This is our 1 pound, 8 ounce.
Mm-hmm.
This is our 1 pound, 8 ounce.
Okay.
And that's how it comes packaged.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and you know, because of the alcohol, the cakes last for a good 6 months, the larger cakes do.
Right, right.
You know.
So it's called Angie's Black Cake, Fine Caribbean Rum Cakes, right? Right there in the packaging. In fact, the packaging reminds me so much of these canned cookies.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so this is actually pretty good packaging.
Yes.
So persons can order on blackcake.com or rumcake.com.
Or rumcake,
whichever
yes.
Whichever the one. Or they can come here directly at the Brooklyn Navy Yard and purchase.
So yes. Your location, so your new location will still be in the same complex here?
It will be. It's just a different building, but okay. It will still be in the Navy Yard.
And it will be bigger, so you'll have more variety.
Absolutely.
Okay, congratulations on that.
You'll have more space to manufacture and hire more people.
Right.
You know, that's the other thing that we really want to be able to impact our community. And it's always been a dream of mine to actually work on getting some of those individuals who have been incarcerated and now have had their records expunged so that we can give them a second chance at life. And so this is one of the ways that we feel that we want to give back to the community, because it's really important for us to do that.
Right. Finally, and I'm going to go back to CACI and your relationship with CACI, how important it is for a small business person from the Caribbean who is here in New York that maybe have started their business, they're not aware of CACI, or about to start their business and probably need that assistance which CACI can provide. How important is that, and how would you encourage someone to be a part of that?
Well, I remember what Roy always said, networking works. And it's so important to build community. It's so important to get counsel. Plans fail, the book says, for lack of counsel. And so, you know, being involved in CACI allows you to meet individuals that are able to impact your life and impact your business, to give you guidance, you know, to share experiences. And the individuals that you're able to network with are also very important, because you can actually sometimes even build friendships through networking within the organization of CACI.
Okay, fantastic. Well, you heard it there from Angela Price. Her business, Angie's Black Cake Company. And you can find her on blackcake.com or rumcake.com, where you can order your cakes directly from her. And of course, we'll be hearing more as she about to expand the business even more. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andre.
Yes.
You're listening to Let's Talk Sinkis Nevis, and that's how we do it on this week's edition of the show. I'm your host, Andre Huey. Remember, you can listen to the show again in its entirety by visiting our website, www.voiceofthecaribbean.net, and click on Listen to Our Shows on Demand. You'll find our show right there. You can also listen to previous episodes of the show. The show will also rebroadcast at 10 a.m. on Friday and Wednesday right here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio. Thanks again for listening to Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond. Stay tuned.
Voice of the Caribbean Radio, VOC Radio. Stay locked on.
It's Christmas time again, and Voice of the Caribbean Radio wants to keep you in the Christmas spirit with Caribbean Christmas, the finest in Caribbean Christmas music, right now into the Christmas season. That's Caribbean Christmas on Voice of the Caribbean Radio. Listen us at www.voiceofthecaribbean.net or listen us on TuneIn Radio. Let's make your Christmas special.
Online radio has never been this great. It's Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. Tune into Voice of the Caribbean Radio for great Caribbean programs, news, entertainment, sports, and current affairs. Wake up each morning and be inspired with One Day at a Time with Kim Huey. Stay abreast with news across the Caribbean and internationally with the Caribbean News Hour, and be entertained with shows like Reggaeville, Caribbean Classics, and Jive Music Show. Visit our website, download our Android mobile app, or listen us on TuneIn Radio. There is so much more on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond. Check website or app for program schedule.
Want to buy some fresh fruits, vegetables, or ground provision, but don't have the time to go to the market or even to find parking? Look no further. Green Market and Delivery is your solution. Green Market and Delivery is an e-commerce store that sells and delivers local produce to customers in Sinkis and Nevis. Anything you purchase, you can get fresh from the market and delivered directly to your door. Log on to www.greenmarketskn.com. Click on the e-store link, choose your items, and shop away. We have a wide array of products from fruits, vegetables, local products, spices and seasonings, and much more. Save time and energy. Shop on greenmarketskn.com, your one-stop shop for fresh local produce.
Stay abreast with news on St. Martin with SMN News. Visit www.smn-news.com. for up-to-date news, scoops, opinions, and hard-hitting facts. SMN News, we tell it like it is. Visit our website,
www.smn-news.com.
If you're looking for a place to host that special event, conference, meeting, social event, party, whatever the occasion, your best option is the Millhouse Convention Center in Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Located on the picturesque Garvey's Estate, the Millhouse Guesthouse Convention Center has enough space for outdoor events overlooking the Caribbean Sea. If you're looking indoors, the center is equipped with amenities needed to make your event a success. And by combining both spaces, you're sure to have a memorable event, no matter the occasion. Call the offices at Millhouse Guesthouse and Convention Center to book your next event on simply the most beautiful place in St. Kitts. Call 668-1392. Millhouse Convention Center at Garvey's Estate, Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Making your event memorable. Auto Plus Car Wash, located on the Collins Street Gut, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Bring your car to Auto Plus Car Wash to remove water stains, wiper marks. Get your doors, roof panel cleaned, seat floor mats, buffing, headlights, and engine wash. You get quality service at the best price at Auto Plus Car Wash. They really care for your car. Call 765-5140 or visit them on the Collins Street Gut, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Auto Plus Car Wash, where service is number one.
The voice of the Caribbean Radio.